Now, I'm delighted to be joined on the phone by Bernie Carter. And Bernie is the Assistant Director of Nursing for Marie Keating Foundation. She also specialises in skin and skin cancer and has done some work in Australia, which is one of the best places in the world to do anything about skin. Bernie, you're most welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
And look, when God sat down and he designed the world, and then on the sixth day he designed Ireland and he designed Irish people, he did not design us for weather. He got that little bit wrong, didn't he?
For
good sunshine. Yep.
Yeah, definitely got us wrong when it comes to skin cancer, because it's not something many people would think about in Ireland, especially given that kind of a large percentage of the year it's raining as opposed to sunny. But it's something we definitely need to think about and talk about.
Yeah, and I mean, the weather's particularly good at the moment, so I think we need to talk about it more than normal at present time.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, we would usually say from April to October every year, that's when we really need to zone in and start protecting our skin. But I'm known to say that our skin does not hibernate. So the rest of the year and all year round, you still need to be checking your skin and looking at your skin without becoming paranoid. Like in the Marie Keating Foundation, we'd say less frightening and more enlightening. But definitely, I don't know if you know this, but skin cancer is the most common cancer in this little island of Ireland. So about 13,000 cases of skin cancer every year. That's almost one third of all cancers diagnosed every year. And we know that the numbers have doubled in the last 10 years and they're expected to double again. So definitely it's something we need to definitely talk about and maybe talk about the different types of skin cancer.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, because when I think of skin cancer, I think of melanoma. And I think most people think of melanoma, you know, but there are others.
Of course there are. Yeah, I guess the best way to think about it is they're melanoma, and then there's ones that are not melanoma. So we call them non-melanomas and melanomas. A good way of remembering the melanomas, and we'll talk in great detail about melanoma, infermole, it's a cancer that most commonly occurs where there is a lot of that pigment that gives the skin its colour. So on a mole, a freckle, a birthmark. It is, thankfully, melanoma is the least common type of skin cancer, but unfortunately it is the most aggressive type of skin cancer. It's one of these cancers that if not caught in time before it spreads, it can spread and it will spread to other parts of the body. So we're known to say ideally prevention is the best when it comes to any cancer, but if we can't prevent, let's catch it early. So then there's the non-melanoma skin cancers. Now these are the most common, but thankfully they're the least serious. So there's two main types there, and you'll often hear them referred to, and people don't need to know the big long names because it's hard enough to remember them, but the BCCs, the basal cells, and the SCCs, the squamous cells. These ones tend to occur on the parts of the body that's most exposed to the sun, like the face, the ears, the bald head. So the men need to watch those bald heads and the women, the back of the neck, the back of the hands. So, but the basal cell will be the most common, doesn't tend to spread to other parts of the body, but will continue to spread where it starts. On a Monday, I'm a public health nurse, and I've had a man that came into me with a basal cell on his ear, you know, a little thing there, spot being there for a few weeks, ignored it, might have scratched it off, it came back. By the time he came to us, the poor man had to have his ear removed. Now, again, I want to make this less frightening. So really what we want people to do is not to leave it until it's gone too far. Like if you see a change, a new change in a mole that you might already have, maybe a new spot on your skin that's not going away, that's changing, and maybe if you want, we'll go through what the different changes to look for, primarily when it comes to melanoma. Will we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that that's a very good one to do because, as I say, the basal cells, I've had a basil cell removed myself, and as I say, if you get them early, they're gone and you can forget about
them. Exactly.
But melanomas are more nasty than that. So what do people need to look out for, Bernie?
Yeah, the melanomas are a little bit cheeky, and these ones now can cause problems. But again, caught in time, the five-year survival rate for melanoma is 93%. So let's focus on the positive
there. Yeah, that's very positive.
So, I mean, that really is fantastic. So really with melanoma, the most thing I'd love people to remember here, and a lot of people don't realise this, 80%, up to 80% of melanomas occur on a new mole. So it's not enough to look and watch and check the moles you already have or the freckle that might be changing or a birthmark. If you notice a new mole, something new on your skin, please go and get it checked out, especially if it's been there for more than 3 weeks. And I highlighted already that I have a young niece who was diagnosed with melanoma only last year, and it was the new mole on the skin. So really, that's really important. So what to look out for? We call them the ABCDEs. A for asymmetric. So most moles are about the size of the rubber off a pencil. They're usually pretty round. And if you could draw a line through the middle of them, you could fold them over and the edges would meet nicely. But asymmetric would mean that, no, that's not happening. If you drew a line through the middle, you can, that corners or the edges do not match. Might look like there's a bite gone out of the mole. So that's A. Border, is there any change in the border? Is it looking a bit jagged, a bit kind of not perfectly round like most moles are? Colour. Colour is a big one, because most moles tend to be black or white or pink or, you know, kind of one colour. If you notice a darkening of the colour or maybe a change in the colour, please get it checked out. Diameter. I already said most moles are about the size of the rubber of a pencil, so about 6 millimetres. If you see that mole spreading out, getting bigger, please again get it checked out. And I should say here, you don't wait for all these changes. If you have one change in a mole, or again that new mole that's been there for more than 3 weeks, pop off to the doctor. Don't be afraid. 9 out of 10 times it's normal, but do get it checked out. So E then for evolving. Is it itchy? Is it bleeding? Is it growing more? It might be just getting caught in a strap. So again, don't panic. But if it isn't getting caught in a strap and it is bleeding and it is looking different, for peace of mind, just go and get it checked out. And if your gut feeling tells you, hey, this isn't right, that's a good enough reason to pop off to the GP. The GP then would have a look. Most GPs are pretty, especially nowadays, would have been our most common cancer, very tuned in with what this may or may not be. And they in turn may refer you on to a dermatologist who possibly will remove the mole or remove the lesion, send it off to the lab, and that's the best way of finding out, is this normal or is it not? So really, really important. And we often would say as well, is it what we'd call the ugly duckling? That mole that looks, or that freckle or that birthmark that looks a bit odd, that's just changing, that doesn't look like your kind of normal or what we would call a normal mole. So this is really, really important. So just again, any change, anything new for you, go and get it checked out, because melanoma might be the least common, but it is the most aggressive if we don't catch it in time. Whereas if we catch it in time, it is very curable. 93% of people are still here 5 years after developing melanoma, as long as it's caught before it spread.
Yeah, and I know most GPs, a lot of GPs now, not all GPs, but the ICGP I know put a lot of effort into getting GPs good at dermatoscopes so they can sort of get the scope and actually look at it. And it's a fairly simple process, you know. And if they're doubtful, then they'll get it removed and that's it.
Exactly.
You know, so it's not a huge thing for people to do. Look, Bernie, at the moment, the sunshine is shining out there. Let's talk about the damages that potentially can be doing to us and how we should protect ourselves for it.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit about UV light. That.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, we're talking skin cancer. 90% of skin cancers are caused by the ultraviolet rays. So hey, 90% are preventable. It could be the ultraviolet, the UV rays from the sun or from sunbeds. So yes, the big cause is those ultraviolet rays. Now, what's really important to know is a lot of people would look out the window or the door and say, hey, it's sunny, it's hot, I better put on the sunscreen. Not necessarily between April and October every year does it need to be sunny or hot for those UV rays to be high and to be damaging to the skin. So really the best way to know what is the UV rays at any one time is to look up the UV index. Evelyn Cusick on Met Éireann has done a wonderful video on explaining the UV index. It's simply an indicator that tells us at any one time during the day, what is the level of the ultraviolet A, UVA, and the ultraviolet B? And once the levels of UVA and UVB are above 2, we need to take precaution. And hail, actually even in wind or rain from April to October, doesn't have to be sun shining out of the rocks. the UV index can be above 2. You can also get it in the weather on your phone. So if you click into the weather, scroll down, it'll tell you the UV index at any one time. Now, generally, they give a generic UV index, maybe for the south, the east, the west, but Evelyn Cusick and Met Éireann are working on that and getting better at giving us a UV index for our locality. I checked mine, and it's cloudy here now in Dublin today, and we have a UV of 6 at the moment. So UV 0 to 2 is okay, safe to go outside. We actually, when I worked in Australia, would encourage people to go outside without the sunscreen when it was 0 to 2, because we need you to get your natural source of vitamin D. Once it goes above 2, between 3 and 7, we call that moderate. Now you need all precautions. It's not just the sunscreen. You need the hat. You need the proper clothing, not nylon, because the UV index can come through that. And remember that for your little children as well. You need the proper UV protector on the buggy and on the pram. You need the broad-rimmed hat. So all of those, don't just think of one measure, and you need the sunglasses. Because you can also get melanoma in the eye, and you can get skin cancers, the other non-melanomas around the eye. Once it goes above 7, it's extremely dangerous. And it hasn't, with the whole ozone changing, it hasn't. It is going above 7 every occasionally. I think 2017 in Ireland, we went away above 7. At any one time, once the UV index is above 2, just think of planning ahead and not being outside during those peak hours of 11 to 3. And please primarily protect your children. I mean, we know that skin damage continues through life, but we do know that primarily with young children, 3 or more sunburns before the age of 20 more than doubles, actually quadruples, the risk of melanoma later in life. Now, in my work in Marie Keating, I'm also doing some work with the HSE, and we're working on the National Skin Strategy. I do a lot of work with young children and with teenagers. So now we're rolling out a wonderful pilot, and we're starting with a few hospitals to begin with, Waterford and Dublin, where we're putting some sunscreen and leaflets in the boxes for the new moms for their babies. Of course, you shouldn't put sunscreen on a very young child under 9 months, but there's other ways. Like I said, you can use the clothing, proper clothing. You need the hats. You need the proper protection on the buggy. But, oh my goodness, I really want to encourage people to protect their children. Another big one as well is stay away from the sunbeds. Sunbeds are extremely damaging. Just one sunbed in our lifetime increases the risk of melanoma by 20%. Sunbeds are banned in the under 18-year-olds in Ireland, but we know from research they are being used. How can we control sunbeds in the person's own house? We can't. So it's education and awareness. They are banned outright in Australia, where they are seeing a dramatic reduction in all skin cancer types. This is one of our new plans for the new strategy, to ban them outright. So the main cause and factors then would be the UV, having lots of moles, but just one mole can change, or again, that new mole, the exposure to the UV light, family history. There are some genetics as well involved in some percentage. 90% are caused by the UV rays, but there is a genetic. So if there's skin cancer in the family, you need to even be more cautious and really pop off and get your skin checked by a specialist, by the GP or the dermatologist that knows what they're looking for. You know, they sunbeds, the rare birthmarks. If you have a birthmark and it's changing, get that checked as well. And as we mentioned earlier, you'd never think with our fair hair and our freckles, a lot of us, 70% of Native Irish do have, that we would get skin cancer. But yes, we are at higher risk, but we are also known to say, regardless of your skin colour, you can get skin cancer. I would have worked 15 years in Canada. I would have worked 5 years in Australia, primarily in the outback. And what we found is people with darker skin presented later, because it wasn't as obvious that there was something changing. And now it would have been more spread. So let's all protect our skin. And will we talk about that?
We'll talk about the different creams, etc. Yeah. You know, because sometimes you might say, oh, well, I put on a 20, I'll put on a 30, or I'll put on, you know, if it's a child, you're going to put on a 50. But is that wrong? Should we be sort of...
Well, I loved, first of all, to get away from just focusing on the 20s, the 30s, on the 50s, because that's factor and that's great, but the factor doesn't give us UVA protection. That just gives us UVB protection. Remember, there's two guys here that we need to protect ourselves against. UVA, think of A for aging. UVB, think of B for burning. They are the two ultraviolet rays that can age, burn, and increase our risk of cancer. If you're thinking factor, factor just protects you against UVB. So yes, the higher the better when it comes to UVB and factor. So really we would say no lower than a 50 for children. Of course, in Australia you get the full blocks. And really for all of us, we should not go for adults. Do not go below a factor 30. It's not worth it. UVA then, how do you know your sun cream gives you or your sunscreen gives you UVA protection? European guidelines are UVA should be written inside a circle on the sunscreen. In North America, you may see broad spectrum, and that means UVA and UVB protection. And you may just say on the bottle, UVA and UVB protection. So what you want to buy in that sunscreen, and you don't need to spend a fortune, you just need the one that's giving you good UVA, good UVB protection. You'll see stars on some of the bottles. Really, I'd say caution around the stars, because the stars were bought out by Boots in 1992. What the stars tell us is your sunscreen is giving you the same protection against UVA as UVB. So say if it was a factor 5, that's your UVB protection, and you still could have 5 stars, that's very low protection against UVA. So really what we want people to focus on is UVA wrote on that bottle, and then at least a factor 50 for children and no lower than a factor 30 for the rest of us. And really as well, what I would say to you is there is no such a thing as once a day sunscreen other than a tent. A lot of them are so full of chemicals that they cause more harm than good. So really think about clothing as well. And as I mentioned already, the hat and the glasses. Don't just think of one measure of protection like the sunscreen. The sunscreen may also say waterproof, but no sunscreen is waterproof or sweatproof 100%. When you're out there in the water, there's a glare and the reflection of the UVA can be popped onto your skin, and you might be only out for 10-15 minutes swimming. I'm a seawater swimmer myself, and you can get burned. So be cautious of the UV when you're going for your outdoor swim. What is it? If it's above 2, okay, 2 to 3, put on the sunscreen. If it's 3, 4, I would say be really extra cautious and maybe put on the extra bit, especially with children, the full-length protective clothing. How often to apply sunscreen then is something we would really encourage people to know. Ideally, you should put it on about 20 minutes before going out the door. Do we all remember? Not really, but we need to try, and especially when it comes to children. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, about what your options are if you're running out the door and you've forgotten. But firstly, you need to reapply it every 2 hours. More often if you're swimming, if you're exercising and you're all sweaty, if you're rubbing yourself off with a towel, if you're, the chlorine or the salt will take off any sunscreen. So if you've just put it on and you've gone in for your swim, you need to dry off and put it on again. How much you put on as well is a big factor. And this really might be something that people might think about when they're buying and paying a lot of money for sunscreen. We would say that you need at least 7 teaspoonfuls if you're going out and going to the beach for the entire body. So one for each arm, one for each leg, one for the front of the body, one for the back of the body, and one to cover the head, the ears, the neck, the face. That's 35 mils. So you don't need to spend a fortune. What I would say, first of all, if you have a skin condition, ask your doctor or your dermatologist. Maybe just pop a little bit of cream on your skin and leave it on overnight and check the next morning. Is there any reaction? If not, it's okay for you. You know, you'll trial and error what works for you, but it doesn't have to be the big expensive sunscreen, because you're more likely to spare them and not put on enough if you do buy the big expensive sunscreen. So again, if you're running out the door, you forgot to put it on 20 minutes before going out, you'll have see two different types of sunscreens. There's the thicker one, like the Sudocreme that we all know about. That's what we would call the mineral or the physical sunscreen. And then there's the clear ones. Think of C for chemical, C for clear. The chemical ones that you tend to more often spray on, they're the clear ones. The chemical ones are handy if you're rushing out the door because they absorb faster. But if you're spraying it on, you want to make sure you're not missing parts, especially when it comes to children. That's why you'd often see the colored kind of sunscreen. They do say now that the thicker, the physical ones are a little bit better. They tend to be less irritating to the skin, better for people if they have skin issues, more moisturizing, but you do need to put them on about 20 to 30 minutes before going out the door.
Okay, my God, you've given me an awful lot to think about there, so you have, Bernie. Now, I presume Mary Keating Foundation is keeping you busy?
Very busy, especially this time of the year. We're so excited because we have a garden in bloom for the next few days, and our garden is catching cancer early. So we have different colour flowers for each cancer. Marie Keating is a fantastic organisation. What I would say to people listening in, if you or a family member is going through cancer, do go on our website, mariekeating.ie. We've loads of free services. We've free support groups for people who are living with cancer. We've put them all online now so they're more accessible. We do meet from time to time. We've also free support groups for people who've come out the other side and have survived cancer. I manage a support group and support services for what we call BRCA, the breast cancer gene that we all have, no matter what gender we are. If it becomes faulty, it increases our risk of certain cancers. So we've loads of services for people who may have a faulty BRCA gene. We've done loads of podcasts now, and I would really encourage people to go and listen to our skin cancer podcast. We did a podcast where we had oncologists, we had dermatologists, we had skin specialist nurses, we had HSE. So they are anywhere you get your podcast, you can get them. Talking Cancer Podcast. Or if you go on to mariekeating.ie/podcast, you find them in there as well. So look, there's lots of free stuff. We also have a brilliant service that I manage as well. I know you're going to say to me, I manage it all. I think I do. You better tell them. But I love it. But I manage a school cancer awareness program. And that's where we have a free program for first to leave inserts, where we go in and educate them about all things cancer in a fun way, more engaging. We talk about the skin. We talk about the smoking, the alcohol, the diet. And then when they get into fourth, fifth and sixth year, we'll start talking about testicular cancer, breast cancer, how to check yourself. And for young boys, and having a young son myself, often they listen to someone else other than yourself. And also we'll talk about breast and all and everything, but we do it in a fun, engaging way. So for anybody that's interested, do email info@mariekeating.ie, or you can phone us on 01 628 3726, and we can set up for next year to come into your school. Of course, a lot of the schools are closing now, but you know, we'll be still here in September. So yeah, there's lots of free stuff on there on our website. And you know, main reason I joined Marie Keating, I'm 30 something years a cancer nurse, worked around the globe, is the connection with the community and the giving back. And we've won awards for open disclosure, you know, up to 90 cents of every euro that fundraise goes back out, and we very much depend on fundraising because we don't get government funding. So yeah, we do give a lot out, and I'm very proud of that.
Look, Bernie, I've learned a load. I have to say I've learned a load, especially the UV index bit is very interesting. Yeah. The Evelyn Cusick thing, I'm going to have a look at that. There is a load of takeaways there, and I'd like to thank you very, very, very much. It was really, really informative.
Oh, you're very welcome. I guess the takeaway is no fear. Don't be afraid. Just, you know, remember, a tan is a sign the skin has been damaged and it's trying to protect itself. As I say to my girls, I'd rather them get it from a spray than to be putting their skin at risk. Know about UVA and UVB and do go on and learn about the UV index. A better way of knowing, is it safe to go outside than just looking at the sun? So listen, be safe in the sun and enjoy it, because we do all love it, but we can do it safely.
Bernie Carter, thanks a million.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be on.